by what we just experienced, because you declared over us what you say. And you're beginning to set us free from some of those lies and fears that take root in our minds, in our hearts, and they put us in bondage and they make us selfish. But Lord, we're here this morning because we want to experience your love and your presence and your power. And so, Lord, I needed to hear what we just sung, just for me personally. And I pray that you would set me free through your love. And I pray that for every person that can hear the sound of my voice right now, Lord, that your love through your Spirit would be setting them free, that they would know and sense that they're your child. In Christ's name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Can we have another little round of applause for Emily, our friend? That was just, you know, there's some people who say when a person opens their mouth, they sound like an angel. Then there's people who sound like an angel. All right. We're not American Idol parents, Emily. You sound like an angel. Well, I'm Kenny Luck. I'm one of the teaching pastors here. It's great to be with you. If you're just joining us for the first time, we've been doing a series for the last 2 weeks called The Mix. And essentially what we're saying is that at any given moment, we're in one of three zones. Either life is super great, or life is super hard, or life is super normal. And no matter what zone you're in, as you hear the sound of my voice and as we gather as a collective kind of this morning, is that God wants to be with you in each of those zones. If things are going super great, God just wants to rejoice with you. He's blessing you. It's really obvious when things are going super great. Now, the lie we believe when things are super hard is that somehow, because I've lost my prosperity and I find myself in adversity, that somehow that means God's absence, which is not true. God is with you when things are super hard. But those are the extremes, right? They're really obvious. But most of life is spent in this middle space, and that's super normal. That's just the peanut butter and jelly, laundry, commuting, daily work, things. God wants to meet you there, be with you there. And as you're walking in the life he's called you to live, you can have a connection with his love and with his voice and with his Spirit, and you can do life with God. So that's what the series is about. And in part one, we just talked about how in that mix, we can know God in the mix. Part two, we talked about trusting God in the mix. And then I've saved the best for last. For part three, we're going to talk about loving and serving others in the mix of your super normal life. Now, let's start the message with a question, a little survey. How many of you heard when you were little from a parent or teacher or authority figure, treat others the way you want to be treated? Okay? How many of you ever heard that? You teenagers are like, I'm hearing it right now. All right? So we've heard that. And now I want to ask you another question. How many of you know what that's called? It's called the golden rule. That's right. How many of you know where that comes from? You know that, how many of you would say a philosopher? How many of you would say the Bible? Okay, you would be right. Now, let's do another question. How many of you think Old Testament? That comes from the Old Testament. Raise your hand. Got a few of you. How many of you think New Testament? It's Old Testament. All right, it's Old Testament, it's from Leviticus 19:18, but Jesus requotes that passage from Leviticus 19:18, and it says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Last question, how many of you are constantly torn between treat others the way that you want to be treated and treat others the way they treat you? Right? Where it's like, yeah, I know I'm called to treat others the way I want to be treated, but people don't always treat me the way I want to be treated, and I want to treat them the way they treat me, right? That's a temptation, right? It's a battle. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about the battle to live out the golden rule, because we believe in a God of the golden rule, and we're going to look at a model for living it out. That's the person of Christ. We're going to look at that. But then it's one thing to just know it intellectually. It's one thing to experience the power that actually allows you to treat others the way that you want to be treated in spite of how they treat you. And that's really transformational. That is the witness of the power of God in your life. And so if you look at your notes, there's a couple of verses that talk about sort of the golden rule and then the battle to live it out. The first passage is from Matthew 7. It's Jesus' words. And why don't we read this together from the Message translation? Ready? Here is a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. So there is the golden rule. There's the command. It's a guide. Greatest piece of relational advice ever given. If you want your relationships to get better today, do that. Now, here's the next verse, which is the battle. And it's the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7. He says this, "I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight." Can I get an amen? All right. "Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge." So there's that inner voice that says, they don't deserve for you to treat them the way you want to be treated. In fact, here is the list of reasons why they don't deserve that. All right, don't poke anybody, all right, to your right or left, but I bet you're thinking maybe of some person or some time, and there is the battle. So I think all of us inside, we really would love to delight in God's command of treating others the way we want to be treated and act less selfish, but we've got to have a model. All right, and we've got to have power to do that. And then we actually need to bring it into our lives and live it out and respond. So let's look at three things that we need to see so we can do golden rule more and act selfishly less. And the first thing we need to see is the servant from heaven who came into the mix. Write that on your notes. It's a little fill-in there. The servant from heaven who comes into the mix. And the Bible talks about Jesus and his process of coming from heaven to earth, and then the nature of Jesus while he was on earth, and here's the bridge I want to build. If we follow Jesus, Jesus lives in us, and Jesus came from heaven to earth to be a servant, then that should be coming out of us who claim a connection to him. Look at what the Bible says. It says, "Think of yourselves the way that Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave or servant. Became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death, the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything." Now, I want you to circle the words in that verse, "when the time came." And here's why I want you to circle it. It's because today, when we leave this service, the time is going to come where you're going to need to say no to yourself to say yes to another person. And you can treat them the way that you want to be treated, or you can treat them the way they're treating you and give it back. And if we look at the life of Jesus, we see some things happening that can show us, kind of as a model, what's happening with us and in us and the process that Jesus went through. The first thing we need to see is we need to see there was a connection to God. Write that down. The Bible says that he had status with God. So there's a with God statement. There's Jesus, he is with God. If you're a follower of Christ, that's your status too. You're with God. That connection was severed in Adam, it was restored in Christ. And if you have trusted in the person and work of Jesus Christ, you have status with God. You have a relationship with him. So that's the first thing we need to see. Second thing we see in this thinking of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself, there was a no to self. The Bible says that he set aside all this status and connection and privilege and position. He set that aside, and in setting that aside, he's basically saying no to what he's entitled to in that position. So there's a no to self. Third, there was a yes to others. The Bible says that he took on the very nature of a servant or a slave. So he's saying no to himself and his position and status. He's saying yes to becoming a servant. So the king becomes the servant. He is the servant king, and he comes to earth to live life in the mix with us. And then the next little thing happens. There was a loss on earth. Write that down. There's a connection to God. There's a no to self. There's a yes to others. And then there is a loss on earth. The Bible says that this process of coming from heaven into the mix of earth was humbling. It was a humbling process, and that Jesus died a selfless death. Death on a cross. Most humiliating way to die, like a common criminal. The servant king of heaven comes to earth to serve us in the most dramatic way by dying for us a criminal's death on a cross to secure our salvation and to secure our transformation and this new life he wants us to live in the mix. And then lastly, even though there was a loss on earth, there was a gain in heaven. The last sentence of that passage says, because of that, right? Connection to God, no to self, yes to others, loss on earth. It says, because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything. Wow. So there's our model. And if we're going to do golden rule more, which is commanded by God, and act selfishly less in our relationships with others, we got to have a model. And in Jesus, we see someone who doesn't treat people the way he was treated. He treats them the way he wanted to be treated, but there's a connection to God. There's a self-limitation, a no to self. There's a yes to other people. He took on the identity of a servant, and even though that there was a loss on earth, there was treasure in heaven for him. So that's the first thing we need to see. Second thing we need to see is the desire of heaven in the mix of life. Your supernormal life, there's a desire that God has for you, for your relationships as you live your life, your highs and your lows, and your normal days. And it talks about this desire in Luke 22. I'll set it up for you. They've been walking with Jesus for 3 years, and they're still not quite getting it, all right? What it means to love and serve others in the mix. So Jesus has to be explicit, okay? And he uses their bickering over who's going to have the highest position, all right? Because they're connected to Jesus, he uses their bickering over that to kind of teach them what God's desire is for them in the mix. And it says this, a dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered the greatest. Now Jesus interjects. Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them, they call themselves benefactors. And here's the transition in the conversation. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules, who has position, is like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Let's finish it together. Ready? Is it not the one who is at the table, but I am among you as one who serves? So the guys are thinking that their association with the servant from heaven is about them being in a position that allows others to serve them. He senses it, he sees it, and then he has to interject and intervene and compare the way culture works with the way Christ works. You see, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're gonna have culture clashes. There's the way things are done in culture, and then there's the way Christ calls us to live, and that's what's happening here, because there is an authority in culture. All right, if you have more power, influence, wealth, or control, people serve you. Okay, that's the cultural way, and people expect that. But then Jesus flips it on his head, and he puts himself at the center, and he says, you know, if you have real authority, the one who rules, and you're connected to me, you have the authority of heaven, and the authority of heaven allows you to say no to culture and no to yourself to say yes to others. Can I get an amen? That's the authority of heaven. So it actually, Jesus has a higher authority. He comes to earth, and in the mix of life, he doesn't secure his position so that he can have others serve him. He actually has a higher authority, which allows him in the normal flow of life to see and serve and love other people. And that is a witness of heaven. And then he talks about, you know, the opportunities we have. So I want you to write a few things down. The first one is you have a new identity in Christ. If you follow Jesus, in other words, if you have for yourself said yes to the person of Jesus as God and as your Lord and the work of Jesus, you're a Christian. That gives you a new identity. And when you're in that space, Jesus looks at you this morning and he says, you're not supposed to be like that. Okay. Secondly, you have a new authority in Christ. And I wanted you to see the connection between ruling and serving. Jesus says, you know what? If you really have power and you really have authority and you're really connected to me, you have authority over the way culture does it and what you want in the moment, and you can love and serve other people. That's your real authority. That's a sign that I'm ruling in your life. And then third, there's a new opportunity with others in Christ. Notice that Jesus said, but I am among you as one who serves. So he's saying, you know what? Whenever I'm with people, I'm among you. It's just the 12 of us, but I'm among you and I'm serving you. And I was thinking, and it's not in your notes, but I was thinking, wow, remember the Last Supper when Jesus disrobes and how that was so countercultural, you know, where we're used to indulging and impressing and self-preserving, and he takes off his robe. He's from heaven. He's a king. He deserves to be served, but he serves. And then the men around him are really, they have like a helicopter in their gut because they're watching this man lead. And they're getting the implication of it. It's like, we're connected to you. We're your disciple. You're doing that. You told us you're leaving, and when you're gone, we have to do that. And that's going to be the sign that you're in us. So today, you're going to be among people, and you're going to have opportunities to serve. And that means that every day, we have a chance to golden rule, okay, to love God and love people the way that God loves us, or to serve ourselves. So that's the second thing that we need to see. First, you need to see the servant from heaven. Second, you need to see the desire of heaven. And then third, you need to see the experience of heaven that frees us to see and serve. And we're going to camp here for a little bit because this is the most important thing. It's one thing to hear something intellectually and mentally. It's another thing to live it out practically and experientially. Amen? Like I'm educated way beyond my obedience, okay? I know way more than I do, and that's not why we're here. We're here to apply what Jesus says here in his word. And there is an experience that Jesus has with the Father and Spirit in Matthew chapter 3 that is so important that I want us to see it and I want us to unpack it. And more importantly, I want you to experience it, not just have an intellectual exercise. So let's look at the experience God wants us to have today. Talks about Jesus' baptism, and it says this: as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, let's say it together, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So when you peel back all time, all space, all matter, and you want to take a good glimpse at the center of the universe, the core of the universe, what do you see? You see Father, Son, and Spirit connecting, delighting, encouraging, mutually supporting, and loving one another. That's at the center of heaven. Then the servant from heaven comes to earth to live in the brokenness and mix with us. And what does he start doing? He starts serving and loving and encouraging us. When the Son of Heaven is baptized, there's a moment, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where a few things happen. And I want you to write them down. It's very important because every human being needs to have this happen to them to experience the power of God that frees them to see and serve people. Number one, we see the Father declaring his relationship over his Son. Heaven opens, and a voice from heaven said. Now, I'm just going to say something that's true. You may agree or disagree. But we are emotionally and relationally formed by the voices that we believe. Those voices could be from your mom and dad. It could be from a highly critical person in your life. It could be the voice of trauma. Maybe you've been through some trauma. But there are voices that are speaking into our lives, and we're either we're believing them or rejecting them, but we're making a selection, and this is the voice that matters the most. And Jesus is there. He's about to begin publicly serving people, but before that, he hears this voice from heaven, and it's declaring who he is, a strong name and a strong relationship. This is my Son, who I love. and in you I'm well pleased. What we see is acceptance without performance. Let's say that together. Acceptance without performance. Now, here's how culture works. If you perform or become someone for me, then I'll accept you. And so we spend all this energy, you know, being the right person, saying the right things, being in all the right places, having the right resume, so that people will engage and embrace us, all right? Not here. Now, was Jesus going to go love and serve other people? Of course he was. But what's the power that drives him, right? It's this declaration of love and blessing and support from the Father. Second, we see the Spirit uniting the heart of Father and Son. So there's a voice from heaven, and then there's this exchange of spirit. Have you ever said about two people that you know and they're very similar, you say, you guys have kindred spirits, right? There's an exchange, there's a witness of spirits, right? And so there's a heart exchange that's happening here. There's Father, there's Son, and there's Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is affirming Father and Son, and there's this exchange of hearts. The Holy Spirit is uniting the heart of the Father for the Son and the heart of the Son in the Father, and it's this powerful transformational thing. And then third, you see the Son receiving the love and blessing from the Father. How do we know? Because he didn't run from that. You just see Jesus just receiving. He comes up out of the water and the heavens open and a voice from heaven says, and there's an exchange of spirit, hey, Son, you know, I'm yours and you're mine and I love you. And you know what? You're the best. I'm so pleased with you. Now, I just want you to know that before that moment happens, not one leper is touched, not one prostitute is defended, not one loaf and fish is multiplied, not one person is raised from the dead. Jesus hadn't done a thing for God. And in that moment, he gets all of God having done nothing for God. Now, I grew up in the military model. My dad was career Navy. I'm a Navy brat. And the military model is authority and accountability. And then if you perform under the authority and accountability, then you get acceptance and affirmation. You know, the God's model is the exact opposite, where he just accepts you and loves you. And because he accepts you and loves you unconditionally, that energizes his authority and your accountability to him. It's a have to, not a want to. Amen? And that's what we see happening here. Lastly, we see then the Son freely serving others in the mix. So we go from Matthew chapter 3, and then we go from Matthew chapter 4 through 28. Secure in the Father's love, secure in his connection with him. The Father declaring their relationship, united in spirit, receiving that love and blessing. Jesus then goes out and just freely serves people. Why? Because he's okay. He's satisfied. He's content. He knows who he is. God's told him who he is. And so we need to see the servant of heaven. We need to see the desire of heaven. We need to see the experience of heaven that Jesus models for us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, say this with me. What God models for me is meant for me. Now, I don't think that Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit needed to do this for Jesus to be okay in the Father to go serve humanity in the mix of life, even though people would treat him poorly back. But it's in the Bible, and that happened historically, and it's there because what God models for me is meant for me. And it's meant for you. Someone needs to declare love and blessing over you. There needs to be an exchange of hearts. And you need to sense and internalize that you're loved and accepted unconditionally. But I know for a lot of us, it just kind of stops maybe here or even here or here because there's so much trauma and pain that just doesn't let us feel. And though we read these words and we want to receive the love and acceptance of God, it's just hard experientially. We've trained ourselves to not feel. But I'm telling you, there's a declarer of love and there's a receiver of love. And there needs to be a moment. So what if that's you? What if you've never had love and blessing declared over you as a human being? Well, I'll tell you one thing that's true about you. If you haven't internalized that love and blessing declared over you by someone, more importantly, by God himself, is that there's fear inside of you. And so what we want to do now is we want to look at, man, how can I be like Jesus, and how can I freely receive so that can ignite me freely serving other people? Number one, we need to openly accept his blessing and respond. God has offered his blessing in Christ so that you could receive his unconditional acceptance, his unconditional forgiveness without limit, his mercy, and your identity as a child of God. What Father, Son, and Holy Spirit modeled for us is meant for us. It talks about that in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. It says this, for you received, for the Spirit you received, you might want to circle you received, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. You know, I've seen families go through the adoption process. And then there's just that moment when that child is declared theirs. And a mom and dad look at a child and they say, we're yours. And the child feels, senses, maybe even says, and you're mine. I'm not an orphan anymore. You know, I didn't have that moment until I was 17. Now my dad was an alcoholic, alone a lot. Last place I wanted to be was home. And I was living in fear, wondering, gosh, somebody accept me over here in this community? Somebody accept me over here in this community? And I was doing all sorts of unhealthy things to get this acceptance until the acceptance issue was solved when God declared by his Spirit his unconditional love and acceptance of me. And now I didn't have to go chase the other unhealthy ways to get accepted. What a moment. Man, you know how freeing that is? To just not care what people think about you and to know that you know that you know that God loves you. That's all that matters. And so you have to openly accept that blessing, and that's what we all have to do to kind of get freed from the fears that we have inside. And then secondly, inwardly, this is the next step. Inwardly, we need to define ourselves by his acceptance alone. Now, like I said, Jesus moved from that baptism and that powerful catalytic moment before he did any ministry, and he's serving other people, and he's not caring about what men think. He's not trying to get accepted over here. He's just worried about this connection, and he's so solid here, he's serving here. And to the point where people would say, you know, teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity because you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and you're not swayed by what other men think. And it's so beautiful to see his integrity. He has power because he's secure in the love and acceptance of the Father. So we see this power in Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite chapters of the Bible, because it's all about freedom and the love of God and how the love of God makes you a conqueror. Let's read verse 37 of Romans chapter 8 together. Ready? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who, I hope you see what is on your notes. Love is the answer. Not in the John Lennon, all we need is love, however that looks. In the gospel, in the Son of God, coming and demonstrating his love for you, you seeing his love for you, you recognizing it, responding to it, and releasing your life to it so that you're free now to love and serve others with energy and passion. That phrase, more than conquerors, upar Nike. How many of you guys own Nike shoes? Any brand of Nike shoes, okay? That's probably a lot of us, right? That little swoosh, you know, Nike, it's conqueror in Greek. Upar Nike is super conqueror. Okay, so if I reread the verse, in all these things, in the mix of life, we are super conquerors through him who loved us. No matter what's going on in our lives, no matter who's serving us or not serving us, who's rejecting us or accepting us, circumstances, there's delays, difficulties, trials, and tribulation, no matter what's going on, we are super conquerors through him who loved us, which makes us okay in the mix of life. Amen? And that's what's great about knowing God. So that's the second part. You have to openly accept his blessing. Second, you have to inwardly define yourself. Can I just say, if you're not conquering your fears, my suggestion is you let the love of God really go from here to here. To let it travel 18 inches to your heart, where you see through the gospel and through the death of Jesus on the cross, the love for you. Lastly, after we openly accept his blessing and inwardly start to define ourselves based on this relationship, we can now, write this down, freely serve others in the mix of life. Freely serve others. Delivered from fear of whatever. Non-acceptance, non-approval, non-coolness, poor social status, whatever that is, because God's in our life, we can now freely serve others in the mix of life. Listen to this message in Galatians chapter 5 to a group of Christians. The Apostle Paul tells a group of Christians just like this, it is absolutely clear that God has called you to live what kind of life? A free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy the freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. Can we say that together? That's how freedom grows. There's meaning right there. And then the passage goes on. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence, love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you will be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? My counsel is this: live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of what? Selfishness. You see, there's the battle. There's the battle. There's the God who golden rules and his people golden rule. And if we've had that experience where we see the servant from heaven, right, and we experience God's love from heaven for ourselves, we can get free, but there's still a battle day by day. So if you're ready to love and serve others better, I don't know your relational situation. I don't know your relational status. I don't know if you're married, you're single, whether your marriage is great, whether your marriage is hanging by a thread. I don't know. All I know is that God's love is present in this space for you right now. And he wants to free you. He wants to tell you who you are. He wants to tell you the truth. And he wants to free you so that you don't have to have position or power or control in any relationship, because he has all that. And his love frees you from wanting that. And then when you're in him, all that's yours anyway. So here's a few things that need to happen. Same experience that Jesus had, God wants us to have. Number one, God needs to say what he needs to say. You know, there's that John Mayer song, you know, say what you need to say. God has something to say to you this morning, and he needs to say what he needs to say to you. And it needs to go from here to here. You need to take it into your heart. Secondly, you need to receive and believe what he has to say. That's your choice. If you want to be free, if you want your relationships to go better, if you want to have the power of God fueled by the love of God in your life, when God talks over you, you need to receive and believe what he has to say. Third, the Spirit needs to unite my heart with God's heart. Again, it's not Father and Son or just Father. It's just like what we see at the baptism of Jesus, if you're ready to experience that. The Father declaring, the Son manifesting, the Spirit empowering a moment for you, uniting your heart as one who wants to be adopted by God and be in God's family and know and experience his love, and then the heart of the Father toward you. And then lastly, if you do those things, God promises new power in your life to love and serve other people. And that battle will tip. You won't win it all the way, but it certainly will tip in your favor. Why? Because you're full. You're not needy. You're rich in love. And isn't that the true riches? That's what we're all looking for. You'll be acting less selfishly and self-destructively. And because of the love of God, your relationship and your thinking about yourself is going to change because you're now his child. And your relationship toward other people is going to change. And now that knowledge about yourself and about how he feels about other people is going to change the way you serve them. So Jesus had a moment with God. It's pretty powerful. But God wants to have a moment with you. And if you have never had, listen carefully, if you've never had a declaration of blessing over you, if you are ready to stop struggling with self-worth and be delivered from fear, that fear of not being accepted and that struggle with self-worth is solved by one thing: the love of God through Jesus Christ. And you can have it right now. So if that's you, if you've never had a declaration of blessing over you, or if you're ready to end the battle with fear and be transformed by God's love, I want you to stand to your feet right now. If that's you, very unique audience, go ahead. If that's you, you want to be delivered from fear, you want a declaration of blessing. Okay. Maybe you're acting selfishly and you don't know how to stop it. Maybe it's working itself out in your marriage or with your kids and your parents. You just want to be delivered from the need to serve yourself in relationships and be touched by God. So these people who are standing bravely, those are receivers. Okay, receivers, look up here. To receive this, all I want you to do is just kind of make a posture that reflects your heart. Can you put your hands like this? Just like this. Okay. Now, these receivers, they need declarers. Someone who will declare the blessing of God over their lives. And so if you're near a receiver who has their heart open now, and you'd like to be a declarer who speaks the blessing of God on them, would you just, if you're around them, if you're a spouse, can I just tell you, if it's your wife that's standing, husband, she's waiting for you to declare a blessing over her. If you're a husband standing, can I talk to the wives? He's desperate for your blessing and would love to hear you declare the Father's blessing over him. If you're a friend, stand with a friend. But would you declarers put your hand on the shoulder of a receiver, please? And for those of you who didn't come with a friend, someone's gonna put their hand on you and talk into your ear, but just know, that's the voice of God. And so declarers, I just want you to repeat after me as we go into the presence of the Lord. And just everybody who's seated and hasn't standed, could you just stretch your hands toward someone who's standing and as a sign of your desire for them to receive the love of God. Okay, declares, repeat after me and speak into the ear of the receiver. These are the words of God for you to hear with your heart, to take into your spirit, and freely receive from God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father says, "You are mine and I am yours. Hear this with your heart and take this into your spirit. It is true now. It will be true tomorrow. It will be true all your days. It will be true forever. You are mine forever and I am yours forever." The Father says, "Because of my Son, because of your faith in my Son, because of your trust in my Son's death and resurrection, I am filling you with the Spirit of my Son. Receive the Holy Spirit of Jesus." The Father says, "Receive this blessing from me. Let my spirit unite your heart with your head. Freely receive my love. Freely receive my acceptance. Freely receive my mercy. Freely receive my forgiveness. The Father says, now freely give. I declare you to be the servant of all. In the spirit of my Son, Jesus, in the name of the Father, your heart and mind are sealed. In the name of my Son, your heart and your mind are sealed. In the name of the Holy Spirit, your heart and your mind are sealed in my love. In Jesus' name, I declare this blessing. Amen.